Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday, July 26th, 2018, 7:26:18, 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, 1:30 today. We're going to be joined for about 10 minutes by Betty Sutton, who is Rich Cordray's running mate for governor, and we're going to talk about all the things that are going on with their health care plan, but trivia this hour as well. Go ahead, caller.
Was Dick Gregory one of the four?
Not Dick Gregory, but that's a good guess.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now, the trivia question there that the caller's referring to, in 2011, I started a talk show on WDCM radio, which no longer exists. I had four celebrity guests on that first night. They were people who I interviewed a lot, and they came on the show, called in that first night. Now, all four of them since 2011 have passed away. Now, we have two of them, Phyllis Diller and Jane Meadows. But who were the other two? Who were the other two guests that night that I had on the first night I was on WDCM radio 7 years ago, over 7 years ago? And remember, they all have since passed away. So two down, two to go. Phyllis Diller and Jane Meadows, and two to go. 740-383-9944. Do want to remind you that Swap Shop with Terry Tackett will premiere on WWGH Radio July the 30th, 5:10 to 6 p.m. Every Monday and Friday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., you can buy and sell items here on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Was B. Arthur one?
Not B. Arthur.
Okay.
Thank you. Swap Shop with Terry Tackett will premiere on Monday, July the 30th, this coming Monday, 5:10 to 6 p.m. It will air every Monday and Friday, 5:10 to 6 p.m. You can call our number during that time to sell or trade any item you might have. You can send Terry an email if you have something you want to sell at Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, at WWGH1071.com. So that's coming this Monday. It'll be every Monday and Friday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., Swap Shop with Terry Tackett. Now, here we go. Back to our trivia questions until we talk to Betty Sutton here in about 14 minutes. And then we'll come back because we'll only have Betty on for about 10 minutes. So the last 20 minutes will also be trivia questions. Now, what year was Queen Cleo, our gypsy queen, what year was her marker put on her grave? For years, it was just marked by a wooden cross. Now, the wooden cross is still there, but what year did they put the tombstone on her grave? 740-383-9944. The question that has lingered on for the last few days. Who was the first president born in Ohio? The first president born in Ohio. Who was that? 740-383-9944. And now on to our Florence Harding trivia. This is a quote, a famous quote by Florence Harding. Now, I just want you to finish the quote. And you don't have to do it word for word. You can just kind of give me the gist of what she was saying. She said, "I know what's best for the president, dot, 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 dot." What did she say? "I know what's best for the president, dot, 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 dot." 740-383-9944. What might Florence Harding have said? That's one of her famous quotes. What was Florence Harding's pet nickname? Now, around the White House, they called her the Duchess, but she had another nickname that I think her family and Warren G. Harding might have called her. What was her nickname? Florence Harding. 740-383-9944. We all know Al Jolson was invited to the White House by President Harding, but Florence Harding really was one of the first to start inviting celebrities to the White House. And when she was there between 1920 and 1923, she had two famous actresses of the day come visit the White House. One of these actresses lived to be nearly 100 years old. Who were the famous actresses that came to visit the White House?
Go ahead, caller.
For president, was it Van Buren?
Not Van Buren.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Not Van Buren. Who was the first president born in Ohio? Who were the two famous actresses that were invited to the White House? Two famous actresses.
Go ahead, caller.
Jefferson?
Not Jefferson.
Nope, we're getting them all in there. We'll get to it. Who was the first president born in Ohio? 740-383-9944. What was Florence Harding's pet name? Nickname, pet name, however you want to call it.
Go ahead, caller.
Was it Washington?
Not Washington.
Nope. We're running through them, though. The first president born in Ohio. Who was the first president born in Ohio? 20 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Florence Harding had a quote. I know what's best for the president. Dot, 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 dot. What was the rest of the quote? You don't have to give me the exact quote, but kind of finish it. I know what's best for the president. And then there was a little more to it. What did Florence Harding say? What was Florence Harding's nickname or pet name that she had? Warren Harding, her family, I think, called her this. It wasn't the Duchess. That's what they called her in the White House. But what was her nickname or pet name, would you say? Florence, 740-383-9944. Who were the two famous actresses of the day that Florence Harding invited to the White House? One of them lived to be nearly 100 years old. She lived to be 99 years old. Who were the two famous actresses that Florence Harding invited to the White House? 740-383-9944. I'm sure you have seen both of these actresses in old black and white movies. And they kept making movies into late life, so you probably have seen them in some color movies as well. Go ahead, caller.
Was it I Put Him in the White House?
You got it. That was right. Florence Harding's quote was, I know what's best for the president. I put him in the White House. You're exactly right. How'd you know that, ma'am?
I looked it up. I Googled it.
Hey, that's a good Google. Are you eligible to win today?
I am, but I'm not interested in any of them, but thank you.
Well, hey, I thank you for playing along.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, that was Florence Harding's famous quote. I know what's best for the president. I put him in the White House. That was what she said. So, again, that kind of tells you what their relationship was. Okay, some more Florence Harding trivia here. What was her nickname? What was her pet name? Not the Duchess. But what was her nickname that people called her who knew her well? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Was Tyler the one for president?
Not Tyler.
Nope. We're going all around that president one. It was not Tyler. What was Florence Harding's pet name? 740-383-9944. What was her pet name? Now, her nickname at the White House was the Duchess, but this is something else that they called her. The two famous actresses, what two famous actresses, very famous, did Florence Harding invite to the White House? This is back before celebrities went to the White House. These actresses lived well into the 20th century. I'm sure you've seen them in black and white movies. Very well-known names. What two famous actresses did Florence Harding invite to the White House? 740-383-9944. And again, one of them lived to be 99, nearly 100 years old. We had some guesses on this one the other day, but nobody's got it exactly right. What did Florence Harding do as First Lady that later became popular by Eleanor Roosevelt and Hillary Clinton, but Florence Harding was the first First Lady to do this? What did she do? 740-383-9944. When and where was Florence Harding's diary found? Now, I've told you it was found in Ohio. Now, where in Ohio did they find Florence Harding's diary? And on the year, I'll give you 10 years either way. You don't have to guess the year right on the dot. Where did they find Florence Harding's diary in Ohio? And what year did they find it? 740-383-9944. What famous wrestling promoter, who used to promote the wrestling shows at Veterans Memorial Coliseum, what was his name? He was there in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, or not 40s, I'd say 50s, 60s, 70s, and into the early 80s. He promoted them at Veterans Memorial Coliseum, usually one weekend a month. Used to sell out the 5,000-seat Veterans Memorial Coliseum. What was the name of that wrestling promoter? 740-383-9944. What year did Gallagher smash a watermelon in front of Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant on Route 95? Who did Gallagher get into a verbal fight with when he was here the second time on the air? It's a famous Ohio person. They're still with us. Gallagher walked out during the interview. Who did Gallagher get into a fight with on the air when he was here the second time? What was the last year we had the charity ball in Marion? Does anybody remember the last time there was a charity ball to fund the Well Baby Clinic? I don't know how they do it now, but used to be the charity ball. What was the year the last charity ball took place? 740-383-9944. And over the years, there were many charity balls. They went on for a long time. How many years did we have the charity ball here in Marion? How many years did the charity ball go on? 740-383-9944. When I started a radio show on WDCM Radio, which is no longer here, I had four celebrity guests on the first night I was on. Phyllis Diller, Jane Meadows, and two others. Go ahead, caller.
Was it that Mrs. Harding opened the gates to the White House?
Not open the gates to the White House, but that's a good guess. Thank you.
Thank you.
Not open the gates to the White House. When I started at WDCM Radio, which is no longer here, I had four celebrity guests on the first night, 2011. All four of them are no longer with us, but I had them on a lot. We know Phyllis Diller, we know Jane Meadows. Who were the other two? 740-383-9944. And the question that we just had a guess at, and a good guess, was Florence Harding was the first First Lady to do something that later became popular by Eleanor Roosevelt and Hillary Clinton. But Florence Harding was the first First Lady to do this. What did she do? 740-383-9944. Who was the first president in Ohio? Who was that? The first president born in Ohio. What was Florence Harding's pet name, her nickname? What did people call Florence Harding? Not the Duchess, but this was something maybe Warren Harding or her family would have called her. What was Florence Harding's nickname? What two famous actresses did Florence Harding have to visit the White House? Now, these actresses are very famous. I'm sure you've seen them both in movies. One lived to be 99 years old. They had long careers. What two famous actresses did Florence Harding invite to the White House? which was kind of out of the ordinary in those days, because you really didn't invite celebrities to the White House. 740-383-9944. Who were those two famous actresses? What year was Gypsy Queen Cleo's tombstone put on? For years, her grave was marked by a wooden cross, but then a tombstone was put on. What year was the tombstone put on Queen Cleo's grave? 740-383-9944. Where in Ohio was Florence Harding's diary found? I'm telling you, it was in Ohio, and I'm not looking for the city. It was found in a particular place. Where was Florence Harding's diary found in Ohio? 740-383-9944. Coming up on 30 minutes past the hour. Now remember, we're going to be joined by Betty Sutton, Rich Cordray's running mate, for about 10 minutes here to talk about the health care plan that was recently laid out, I believe yesterday. And then we're going to come back and do some more trivia for the remaining 20 minutes of the program today. So put your thinking caps on, Google, see if you can find any of these answers. We've got Columbus Zoo tickets. We've got Zumbezi Bay tickets. We've got all kinds of good stuff here to give away. And I tell you what, we are going to take a quick break and come back with Betty Sutton right after this quick but important timeout. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness... fascinating, or our world would be better. There is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors. Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here, 32 minutes past the hour, and as you know, we have got a big election coming up this November. We are going to choose a new governor. On the Republican side, we have Attorney General Mike DeWine, and on the Democratic side, we have Rich Cordray. Now, yesterday, Rich Cordray, along with his running mate Betty Sutton, laid out their health care plan for the future of Ohio. And as we draw closer to the election, we are so pleased for the first time to be joined by Betty Sutton. Betty, how are you?
I am good, Scott. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. I know the people here in Marion are eager to hear about the health care plan that you and Mr. Cordray are going to lay out if you should win in November.
Absolutely. I know it's on a lot of people's minds. You know, Ohio's economy is leaving too many people behind, and that's especially the case with our health care. And the cost of health insurance and prescription drugs are keeping far too many people up at night, and Rich and I want to change that. That's why we're rolling out this reduced cost and reliable coverage plan.
So what can be done for people in Ohio who are struggling to pay their bills because their medicine costs so much?
Yeah, the plan that we have is a three-pronged approach, and we need to have all three prongs if things are going to work for people. And frankly, Rich and I, our campaign, our governing, it's all about putting people first, as opposed to those who make money off of prescription drugs and other parts of the industry. So the plan largely consists of ensuring reliable coverage is available for all of us. Secondly, investing smartly to make sure we're getting the biggest bang for our buck. And third, we need to increase transparency and accountability. And these three things taken together will help us reduce costs and create a lot more reliable coverage.
Why are these things not being done now?
Well, you know what? I will say that the prong one of the reliable coverage, it does begin with the Medicaid expansion, you know, and I'll give Governor Kasich credit for expanding Medicaid. And from day one, Rich and I promised to defend that Medicaid expansion, and that hasn't changed. And the reason why the Medicaid expansion is an important part of making sure that we have reliable coverage for all of us is that it not only helps those 700,000 people who get that coverage through the Medicaid expansion, it also helps the rest of us, right? It keeps our hospitals open, supports thousands of jobs across the state, and it saves taxpayers money by reducing uncompensated care costs that would otherwise happen when those folks were thrown off the rolls and go into the emergency room. So that's an important piece of the plan, but it doesn't mean that the Medicaid expansion is perfect, and we really believe we need to improve on it to make sure that we are getting the best bang for our buck and the best care that it can provide.
You know, I was having a conversation this morning with a person who's just about to be at retirement age, and they were talking about how their biggest obstacle to retiring is they're fearful of losing their insurance plan, that they won't be able to pay for their medicine if they quit and retire. What can be done for those people?
Well, again, we have to ensure that reliable coverage is available for all of us, and we have to remove that fear, because we know that if we invest to get the best bang for our buck, it means that we empower people to get that proactive care, right? No matter what their stage in life. Those well checkups, and we empower women with prenatal care, which in the long run, that preventative issues are best addressed just like that, right, before they occur. But we also have to help our seniors and everybody out there who are facing that choice that you mentioned earlier about prescription drug costs, right, that when people are choosing between being able to get their medicine or other things that they need for themselves and their families, then we're not doing enough. And one of the things we've seen in Ohio is these middlemen, these pharmacy benefits managers that have run roughshod, frankly, over people and charged raising prescription drug costs for the consumer 3 to 6 times what they should be. Rich and I, that's prong three of our program here, is to reduce those costs by ensuring transparency and accountability and reining those folks in to the benefit of the people out there in Ohio.
What has been the benefit to not doing this? Why hasn't it been done?
Well, you know, from day one of the passage of the Affordable Care Act, which of course aimed to improve health care, no one really thought it was perfect when it was passed, but from day one, Mike DeWine has been fighting against it. You know, he's been fighting against it. He's cited often through his 42-year career with Big Pharma, and all you have to do is look at where a lot of his campaign funds come from. He's received almost $500,000 from Big Pharma through the years. So, you know, here's the thing. Rich and I have a plan, and the plan puts people first, not Big Pharma, not other special interests that the system is working for at the expense of people. So it really matters where you aim, and we are aimed at making things work for everyday Ohioans, and that includes health care. That includes fighting for good jobs for them and pathways to those jobs, making sure we have education that is supported, that that will lead folks not only to opportunities to survive, but to thrive, right, and have a good quality of life for themselves and their family.
As everybody knows, the last big election we had in Ohio, 2016, President Trump won Ohio pretty overwhelmingly. As you travel through Ohio, what are you hearing? Good things? Do we hear about this blue wave possibly coming? What do people feel as you're out there?
You know, I think people are just looking for real champions, folks who are going to not only talk the talk but walk the walk. And that's the big difference between Rich Cordray and Mike DeWine and John Husted and I. Rich and I have shown through our lives that we are on the side of people. We aren't beholden to the special interests. We don't stand by while you probably have heard about this ECOT, Electronic Classroom of Tomorrow, has built taxpayers out of millions of dollars and also cheated our students out of education and you know, the ticket to their future. We always are going to come down on policies that will work for everyday Ohioans. And frankly, if they don't work for everyday Ohioans, then we shouldn't do them. And that's really what people out there throughout the state, they're just, you know, we think this should be a state that no matter who you are or where you live or what your dream, that you ought to have a pathway to achieve it here in Ohio. So that's what we're going to focus on, and I think that's what people want us to focus on, meeting those opportunities to get good health care coverage, as we're talking about here today, good public schools, that lifelong learning that will empower folks and for a career that is successful and fulfilling. And you know, those are the things that people are looking for, and I know that Rich is the person who can lead us there.
There's three quick questions I want to get in before we let you go here. I know you had a meeting this morning with, along with Rich Cordray, with former Attorney General Eric Holder, who was President Obama's Attorney General. I just was at the Marion Correctional Institution here yesterday interviewing some inmates. What can be done for people who have felonies who are going back into the workforce?
You know, we really need to work to improve our criminal justice system so that we're keeping our community safe without wasting taxpayer money or the lives of people who need addiction treatment, not jail time. You know, and we talked a lot this morning about how we can be smarter on these issues and how we can hold those who are violent accountable, but make real changes grounded in evidence and, you know, save the state money, keep our community safe, help thousands of Ohioans out of the depths of addiction to lead to healthy and productive lives. There are so many things that we could do better to get results that would allow people to reclaim their lives. You know, we have these fifth-degree felonies in Ohio. We have a lot of people locked up for nonviolent offenses, and we have to look at redoing some of this so that they have a chance to get back into our communities, become productive, tax-paying citizens who are vested in our future and safe communities for themselves and their families as well. So we definitely have to find a way to work on reentry programs so they work not only for those who are integrating back into our communities, but also for those who need good and well-trained employees. So we're definitely focused on figuring out the best practices and making that happen.
Two quick questions here. A lot of people are worried about Russia. They're worried about, is this election coming up? Is the vote going to be tampered with? We don't really know what happened in 2016 fully yet. Are you confident that people vote for will be who they vote for, that no interference is going on?
Well, you know what? I'm concerned about the purging of the roles that's been going on in Ohio. You know, I think it's really important that the integrity of the election is protected, but I also think it's really important that we in the state are about making it easier for Ohioans to vote, not taking some of the steps that you know, my counterpart, John Husted, has taken that we think put up some barriers for folks to access the polls more readily. So, you know, the elections, everybody needs to go out, have your vote cast, have your vote counted. And when we do that, we will have a government that is more responsive to all of us. You know, again, it's about putting people first. Yeah, there's a lot that's going on in Washington. And, you know, the thing is, the governor's race becomes all the more important because of what is happening there. There's changes on the Supreme Court. You know, those rights that many of us have fought for. I think voting rights is on the ballot. I think, you know, criminal justice reform is on the ballot. I think women's rights to control their own health care is on the ballot. There are a lot of things that are at stake, and while we can't control all that is going on in Washington, Rich Cordray and I are committed to making sure that things are working right here in Ohio for the people that we seek to serve. And so that's what we have to focus on and do all that we can to make that our reality.
And my final question, and it's mainly because I really, this is the first time we've had a chance to talk. I hope it's our first, not our last.
Yeah.
But during the Democratic primary, people are concerned about the gun laws here in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Kasich is trying to change some things. And during the primary, there were a lot of stories that you were at odds with your running mate, Rich Cordray, on what the gun laws should be here in Ohio, that he did not want a complete assault weapons ban, but you did. What is the current stance? What would happen with Cordray and Sutton in office?
Well, we actually do have a gun reform proposal that focuses on increasing background checks to make sure that we're keeping guns out of the wrong hands, that would allow for red flag provisions, that when there are signs that that somebody shouldn't have a gun because of violence or other significant problems, that we would be able to perhaps intervene and prevent some of the tragedies that we've seen. We think that there's far too much gun violence, not only in these mass killings, but also on our streets. And so we have a very forward-looking component to our policy that would enable us to work together with local leaders within their community on task force to figure out what is going to work best there. There's a call for a gun violence prevention czar, the elimination of things that convert guns from non-automatic to automatic weapons. So Rich and I have great agreement, and we believe that we must turn the trajectory of what is happening. We've seen the passage of some really extreme laws in this state where, now people don't even have to inform law enforcement, and this is in opposition to law enforcement, whether they have a concealed carry permit. We're for common sense. And so Rich and I are committed to doing what we can to make sure that we in this state are, while the Second Amendment is protected, that people in our communities are safe from gun violence.
Do you still believe there should be an assault weapons ban?
Well, I have a record on standing for an assault weapons ban, and that has not changed. That position has not changed. I believe that the plan that we have is where we should be focused. And it can make a real difference, and I do not want the moment to pass that we are looking at differences and not coming together to change things in a way that respects the Second Amendment, but also will result in people not losing their lives. So that's where my energy and urgency is. And I will tell you this, that, you know, Rich and I don't believe that having, some different points of view is necessarily a bad thing. In fact, we don't think it is a bad thing. We think it's a strengthening thing, and that we should be able to discuss and issues, and we don't all have to sit around a table. One of the scenes that is scary to me is when you have a leader who requires that you sit at a table and just say yes to everything. So we're always going to be partners and discussing issues and finding the ways forward that will work in the best interest of folks in Ohio.
Betty, it's a pleasure to talk with you, and as I say, I hope we can do it again. Take care on the campaign trail.
Why, thank you, and I'm excited to come back.
Hey, thank you, Betty.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Betty Sutton, the running mate for Rich Cordray on the Democratic side for governor, running against Attorney General Mike DeWine. There you are. We thank her for coming on today. And as always, Attorney General DeWine is free to come on the program. The invitation is extended, as well as for John Husted and Rich Cordray. So we always want to learn, not take sides, we just want to learn what's on people's minds. 740-383-9944, 50 minutes past the hour. We've got 10 minutes left, and we've still got stuff to give away here. We've got tickets to the Wilds. We've got Zumbezi Bay. We've got the Columbus Zoo. We've got Tecumseh. We've got Cosi. We've got Huntsman Auto, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only. And we'll go through the trivia questions. And remember, if the phone's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. Chime in anytime you would like if you know the answer. What year was Queen Cleo, Gypsy Queen Cleo's marker, her tombstone, put on her grave? What year was that done? 740-383-9944. And then our long-term question here. Now, think about the question. We've had a lot of guesses, but not the right one yet. A lot of good guesses. Who was the first president born in Ohio? Who was the first president born in Ohio? 740-383-9944. What was Florence Harding's pet name or nickname? I guess you could call it that. She was known by the Duchess when she was in the White House, but what was her pet or nickname, I guess you would say? What was Florence Harding's pet or nickname? 740-383-9944. When Florence Harding was in the White House, she invited two very well-known actresses of the day to visit the White House. They were very famous, they were headliners in movies, and they both had very long lives and very long careers. They would have been invited there between 1920 and 1923. Who were the two actresses that Florence Harding invited to the White House? 740-383-9944. And as I say, one lived to be 99 years old. Florence Harding did something as First Lady that later became popular by Eleanor Roosevelt and Hillary Clinton. Probably more popular by Eleanor Roosevelt. But Florence Harding was the first First Lady to do this. What did she do? 740-383-9944. Where and when was Florence Harding's diary found? I'll let you know it was found in Ohio, and I'll give you 10 years either way on when it was found. Where was Florence Harding's diary found in Ohio, and around what year was her diary found? Go ahead, caller.
Did Florence Harding, was she the first one to publicly campaign for her husband?
No, she wasn't the first one to do that, but it did have something to do with the public.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. No, it wasn't. She wasn't the first one to campaign for her husband, but the question is, what did Florence Harding do
as First Lady that later became popular by Eleanor Roosevelt and Hillary Clinton, but Florence Harding was the first lady to do this. What was it? 740-383-9944. Where and when was Florence Harding's diary found? It was found in Ohio. I'm not looking for a city, just a place. Where was Florence Harding's diary found, and what year was it found? And I'll give you 10 years either way. 20-year gap on the year it was found. 740-383-9944. What wrestling promoter, what was the name of the wrestling promoter, pro wrestling, who used to run the Veterans Memorial Coliseum? Ran it in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even on into the 80s. Filled it up once a month on Saturday night, 5,000 seats. What was this guy's name? Now, he ran primarily in Michigan and Ohio. What was the man's name? 740-383-9944. What year did watermelon-smashing comedian Gallagher, who just had a birthday, by the way, smash a watermelon in front of Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant on Route 95? What year did that happen? The second time Gallagher was in town, he got into a verbal argument on air with a famous Ohio person who is still with us. Verbal argument. Who was that? Go ahead, caller.
Have you had Benjamin Harrison named?
It's not Benjamin Harrison.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to name all of them here, but we'll get it. It's not Benjamin Harrison. When was the last year we had a charity ball in Marion? For years, they funded the Well Baby Clinic. What was the last year we had a charity ball in Marion? 740-383-9944. All the years we had the charity ball, how many years did we have them? We had them for a long time.
Go ahead, caller.
Is it Polk?
Not Polk.
No, we're running down those presidents. The question is, who was the first president born in Ohio? That's the question. Who was the first president born in Ohio? How many charity balls did we have in total when they stopped having them? 740-383-9944. When I started a radio program on WDCM Radio, which no longer exists, I had four celebrity guests on the first night I was on the air, 2011. Two of them, Phyllis Diller and Jane Meadows, have already been named. Now, all four of them have since passed away. Who are the other two? 740-383-9944. 57 minutes past the hour. Now, we have all these tickets left here. We have Cosi, we have Zumbezi Bay, we have Columbus Zoo, we have Tecumseh, we have the Wilds, Huntsman Auto Oil Change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for an automobile only, and trivia questions galore. Who was the first president born in Ohio? Think about that question. Who was the first one born in Ohio?
Go ahead.
Were there 30 charity balls?
There were more than 30.
Okay.
Thank you. How many charity balls did we have? Does anybody remember how many charity balls? They went on for more than 30 years. How many more years did we have charity balls here in town? Total number of charity balls we had in Marion.
Go ahead, caller.
How about Eisenhower?
Not Eisenhower. That's a good guess, though.
All right,
thank
thanks.
You. Bye-bye.
Not Eisenhower. He was not the first president born in Ohio. Who was the first president born in Ohio? How many charity balls in total did we have in Marion? They went on for a long, long time. What was the last year we had a charity ball? When was the last time Marion had a charity ball? They used to be the talk of the day when they went on. Go ahead.
Was it Franklin?
Not Franklin, no. I don't think we had a President Franklin.
I didn't hear you.
I said Benjamin Franklin?
Yeah.
Was he president?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
No, it was a good guess. No. Not Benjamin Franklin.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Nope, not Benjamin Franklin. Who was the first president born in Ohio? That's the question. What was Florence Harding's pet name? Not the Duchess. That's what they called her in the White House. But what was her pet nickname? Think about it. Her name was Florence. What would her pet or nickname have been? 740-383-9944. Now, nobody's taken a guess at this one. You have 2 minutes left here. Take a guess. Florence Harding invited two famous actresses of the day to the White House, of her day, 1920, 1923. Who were the two actresses? Go ahead, caller.
Was it Lincoln?
Not Lincoln. Nope.
I know, he was Illinois.
Yep. Not Lincoln. Who were the two famous actresses, one lived to be 99 years old, that Florence Harding invited to the White House? Now, we've all heard the story of Al Jolson getting invited to the White House, but Florence Harding invited two actresses, very famous actresses, in their day, and they went on making movies for years after. And one of them, like I say, lived to be 99, nearly 100 years old, and I think she was making movies well into the 1980s. Who were these two famous actresses? Go ahead, caller.
Was there a President Coolidge?
There was a President Coolidge, but that wasn't the first president.
Okay.
The question is, who was the first president from Ohio? Does anybody know those two actresses that Florence Harding invited over to the White House? What was Florence Harding's nickname? As First Lady, what did Florence Harding do that later became popular by Eleanor Roosevelt and Hillary Clinton, but she was the first of this? We have time for one more guest today before we wrap it up. 740-383-9944. Is somebody going to take a wild guess here before we wrap it up and maybe get the correct answer? You never know. Let's see. Go ahead, caller.
What's her nickname, Flossie?
It was Flossie, yes.
It was?
Yes, it was. Florence's nickname was Flossie.
I thought that or Flo Flo.
It was Flossie. Are you eligible to win today?
No.
Well, I'm glad you got one. It was Flossie.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you, bye-bye. Yes, Florence's pet name or nickname was Flossie. Does anybody? Okay, we'll take one more guess here if you can get in quick. 740-383-9944. Does anybody want to guess one more here before I wrap it up for the day? We've got about 30 seconds left here. You can still venture a guess, but we got that one out of the way. Her nickname was indeed Flossie. Now, remember, we'll carry these over. Now, tomorrow we have Talk of the Town with Marge Hazelett at 11:10 a.m., Exchange Club with Marge, Charlie, and myself. I might give you a little clip of the things I did yesterday at the Marion Correctional Institute and the Charlie Evers Show tomorrow 1 to 3. No guesses more for today? No more guesses for today? If I can speak right, okay. Well, stay tuned. WWGH Radio, lots more programming coming up, but we're getting one here. The final guest today. Go ahead, caller.
Okay. Well,
what's that?
The final guest today.
Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, caller?
Hello, yes. The first president was Grant. Ulysses S. Grant.
Not Grant, but that's a good guess.
Oh.
Thank
okay.
you. Not Grant. Okay, that's our final guest for the day. We're done. Stay tuned. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question